All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast. It's a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Welcome, everyone, to episode 12 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
And I'm Blake. And I got to tell you, we're like super famous now.
Are we going to be on the Today Show?
No. I'm still waiting for that phone call from Matt Lauer. I know he wants me. I'm just waiting for it. No. I was just checking our Facebook page and just for our listener feedback and everything. And I noticed a small but awesome tidbit. And over the past week and a half, we have gone from like about 200 likes to now nearly 400.
Oh my God, that's huge.
I know. It's over a week and a half. Like all of a sudden, somehow we just blew up.
Well, thank you for everyone who has been a new listener, has been tuning in. And if you've liked our Facebook fan page, you're awesome. Who knows? Maybe
thank
one
you.
Day we'll go on tour. We'll make t-shirts. We'll go crazy. But until then, make sure that you keep your eyes on our Facebook page because we are always looking for listener feedback. Now, today's topic is about having fun with your one-year-old's birthday party. And we've just gone through that. Our son Reese is 13 months old. But before we get into that topic, we wanted to let you know a little bit of feedback from last week's episode. Well, actually, 2 weeks ago. We took a week off.
I know. Sorry about that.
We had the stomach flu and got pretty sick. So we apologize. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about birth doulas. So what's our listener feedback, Blake?
I think the birth doula one, that episode, that's the one that sent us skyrocketing. Because I noticed that our post about that had 14 extra shares.
Oh my gosh.
And like
you,
that just
everyone.
Got shared everywhere.
Share the birth doula knowledge.
By doula companies and other doula companies and people. It was awesome. But the first thing that was said by Jessica F. And she said that she actually shared the link. And she said, if you're looking to hire a doula and don't know where to start, what they do, where to go, and what to ask, please listen to this podcast. It's full of wonderful information given from the hosts, from an actual real-life doula. Well, that'd be weird if we had like a fake doula or like a dead
or
doula.
Or a dead doula, yeah.
dead doula today. And a real-life doula herself who's been in the business for over 10 years. So go listen to it in all caps.
Awesome. Jessica, thank you so much for A, giving us this review, but then B, for sharing it. So you were part of it. And we have another great feedback from Erica S. She said that she might be biased, but this was her favorite episode. And she said that Kim, who was our guest, she rocked it. And I would completely agree.
Oh,
and
she totally nailed it.
Yeah. And Erica is a birth doula as well. So don't worry, you're not biased. I thought it was a great episode. Kim's awesome.
Andrea M. Andrea is famous for that episode because she was our wedding coordinator, and she got wind of the episode, and she wanted to let me know that she loved me, and in parentheses, Mary as well.
Aww.
And that not only was it fun to listen to, and she's a non-parent, by the way, but she found her new show on the commute to her job.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thanks for listening to us, Andrea.
Andrea, keep rocking it, girl. Keep rocking. I'm so happy that you're listening.
We also have some feedback from iTunes. There's user PVD3383.
Ooh.
And PVD says that his wife makes him listen to so many different pieces of crap about kids.
Sounds familiar.
That he gets lost sometimes. But recently she caught up to Mary and Blake the other day and she made him listen to it. He was skeptical and thought it would just be another boring podcast about babies. He actually puts blah, blah, blah. But these guys are actually pretty funny. They have good chemistry.
Ooh. Well, we are married. We better have good chemistry.
That would be awkward. And he says we actually have personality. I hope so.
Well, they're probably speaking about you. Me, I'm just that dude that shows up.
And he said, unlike most of the parent-related stuff he's listened to. So thanks, Mary and Blake. Keep it up. Well, thank you, PVD. And we are excited to keep it up. And we're going to keep it up. But before we do, I think it's time, Blake.
Well, for what?
The judgment-free zone.
Boom. All right, Mrs. Lassen, I had last week's judgment-free. How about you? What do you got?
All right, this week's judgment-free zone is about me.
Really? Not about the kid?
No, it's all about me. So as we were getting up and ready for this week's episode, I realized I hadn't taken my multivitamin yet. I still actually take prenatal vitamins, even though I'm not pregnant or planning on getting pregnant anytime soon. It's just because I still have them. Anyway, I took my prenatal vitamin with wine. I kind of felt like, hey, this is what I'm drinking right now. And red wine has some good benefits. So why not wash it down?
I'm sure that's illegal somewhere.
Probably like in Arkansas or something. I have no idea. But yeah, that was my judgment-free zone, is that I wash my vitamins down with wine.
Classy broad.
I'm like Mary Poppins, just the adult version. Spoonful of sugar, glass full of wine. So that's my judgment-free zone. Well, we're going to jump on in to today's episode topic, which is about how to make your kid's first birthday not suck. As we said earlier, today's topic is how to make your kid's first birthday not suck. And we actually are basing this upon a blog post by Karen Alpert of Baby Sideburn. She wrote a blog post called 9 Ways Birthday Parties Suck. So we decided we'd kind of play around with this and ask our Facebook fans what they thought about this. So our first topic of conversation is the cost. How do you feel about the cost of first birthday parties, Blake?
All right. First of all, my opinion. The cost for these birthday parties are absolutely insane. We're spending way too much money. The kid's 1 year old. He doesn't know anything. He or she is totally clueless as to this party. However, a friend of ours on Facebook, Rachel... what would I say? VH?
Yeah, just Rachel V.
Rachel V. Okay, well, because it's, whatever. She said, don't take on too much stress about the cost. Get help from people who offer it, and keep the party low-key, and then set clear boundaries of what you want. Ultimately, the party is a celebration of your child's first birthday, and it's really a celebration of your family and the year you've just survived, enjoyed together. So you deserve the party as much as your kid. And you know what? I can't agree with her anymore. I really can't. Our first birthday party was about the fact that we didn't kill Reese. We didn't kill him. And I was so happy about that. That's what it was about for me. I don't know. How about you?
We don't really have that much money to spend on him, so it wasn't really an object of questioning. But I do know some people who have spent a lot of money on their kid's first birthday party, and they've made that choice because they do feel like it's a huge celebration for them. So if they do it, great, I'll go, and I will eat your food, but it was not the right choice for me. So for me, I'll keep the cost low.
Number two, the goodie bag. What's your thoughts on this?
I used to love goodie bags as a kid. I really did. I used to go to school on Monday and be like, what'd you get in her goodie bag? Her goodie bag was great. Her goodie bag stunk. Well, I made goodie bags for our first birthday. It included goldfish crackers and bubbles and something else, I think, unless I just had two things. It really stressed me out as a mom. I was so upset because I thought my birthday party was going to be nice and simple. And then I went to another kid's birthday party and my 1-year-old got a goodie bag that he didn't need. And so then I felt like I added pressure to make all these children coming to our first birthday party goodie bags. And I made them all and they were beautiful. And then I forgot to hand them out. So now we have 20 bags of bubbles and goldfish.
Sitting in our junk drawer.
Yeah. So now we have bubbles for the rest of time.
I'm going to echo your comments on this one. Goodie bags suck. I don't care when it is, how old the kid is. They always suck because it's full of useless crap. Okay. I love you, but our goodie bags, look at it from an unbiased perspective, they sucked.
I know, and that's the problem. I feel like even growing up, my goodie bags sucked, and I feel like everyone talked about me in school on Monday being like, oh, Mary's goodie bags suck. Like, that other goodie bag from someone else had pixie sticks in it, and my parents wouldn't give away candy. So
they give away,
goldfish crackers like me. So needless to say,
no wonder where you get it from.
Yeah, I know.
No, well, I'm going to say this too, especially for a 1-year-old's birthday party. Don't do goodie bags. I don't care if you have kids that are there that are like 10 or I don't know. When do you give goodie bags out until 15?
I don't know, but kids expect it. That's the problem.
What I'm saying is don't do it. Don't do it. That way you don't get the stress, you don't get the problems, and your bag's going to suck anyway unless you're handing out Louis Vuitton.
Oh my goodness. Well, all I can tell you is that my kid is going to be judged if he doesn't have goodie bags at his birthday
party. That's why we ain't doing them.
Oh, I'm probably still going to just
This is a judgment-free zone. Don't they know that?
They'll just get year-old goldfish and bubbles. So number three is a multi-pronged topic. Karen put the kids. And I took that to be the number of guests, how many kids you're inviting, especially for a 1-year-old's birthday party. And we can even just throw in the whole RSVP thing, how many guests you're having. So a lot of people invite other babies, tons of kids, maybe some adults. We had a lot of listener feedback on this topic. So everybody let's jump on in. Yeah. Everyone wants to talk about
everybody wanted to get in on this topic. You know what? I'm gonna hold my opinion off. We're gonna burn through these guys and we'll get it done. Glenn W. said, it's great to have tons of great food and a photo wall is always awesome, and make sure the space is large enough. I hate feeling claustrophobic in someone's house, especially when you get concerned or cornered near a weird guest. So don't have weird people over to your house, right?
You have to invite those weird people because they're generally your family.
I know. Oh, God. Right? Everyone's got them, right? Everyone's got like that Uncle Joe that smells like pepperoni, you know, and he's drinking way one too many beers.
And you have to be next to him. And he's like brought his flask in or something to spike your kid's punch. Well, anyway, Bree B. I'm just going to say that. That's your initial. I'm not going to give away your last name, Bree. She says that unless you have very close friends with kids around the same age, she would just keep it small and actually just stick with family. Keep it to the people who are close to you.
Especially Uncle Joe.
Ooh, stinky Uncle Joe.
Jim D. Said, look, he's not a parent, but he's going to have to be honest about this. When you invite people to these kinds of things who don't actually have children, it's an awkward affair, to say the least. You know, so his advice is, however juvenile it may sound, make sure to invite others that are not only in the same situation, but feel completely lost and just as socially backward in these types of events. So it'll cut the tension and it'll cut the anxiety tenfold for them. And you know what? I actually agree with this. Invite people that don't necessarily have kids and put them in groups, you know, and make sure that they're all there for each other. Because you got all those kids together, you got all the families together, the parents, and all these people are like, oh my God, dude, what do I do? Like, I remember Eric said this in our last podcast. He's like, when I showed up, there were babies everywhere. And I don't have a kid. I don't want to step on one. Like, I'll pop it like a frog, you know? Like, that's ridiculous.
Eric actually commented.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. He just said that. He said, have a separate area for the adults with no kids. And that way, too, that they can use some adult language, some adult content, and they don't have to worry about having any kind of a filter. Because he just said for himself, when he's slipped in front of some kids, he's felt pretty guilty about it. And he also recommends that you be 100% honest with your friends about what kind of party it is. Set expectations like, is there going to be alcohol? Is there going to be a time that it ends? Are there going to be tons of children? Just so they can kind of wrap their mind around what these next 2, 3, God forbid, 4 next hours of their lives are going to be like, especially if they don't have kids. And we have one last comment from Colleen.
Colleen F. She said she hasn't hit the first birthday party yet for her daughter, but she is sure that she's going to make sure that her baby isn't overwhelmed. So she's not going to flood the house with people to the point that they can't settle down. And remember, the day is about the baby. So just keep the thing about them and not you and you and no one else.
I completely agree with this. You know, it's tough because especially for us, we have friends who have babies, who don't have babies. So we invited friends, family, and it still seemed to fill our house. So I feel really bad for anybody who came over and felt a little awkward next to Uncle Joe because we have a tiny apartment.
It gets hot and it gets sweaty and it smelled like BO a little bit. And, you know, if you have a tiny apartment or whatever, or even if you have a big house, just keep it small.
And how do you feel about RSVPs for first birthdays?
That's another thing, too. The whole RSVP thing. Look, if I'm going to invite you, show up or don't. And I'm going to think, I'm going to take the amount of people I invited and I expect you to come. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm going to have the food here for everybody else. Just show up. I'm not going to do RSVPs. I'm not going to worry about you coming or you're not coming. I don't care.
You must have had a really good childhood because I was the type of girl who people would say they come into my party and then they don't show up. I'm like one of those sad Drew Barrymore movies, like hanging out, like Little Man Tate. You remember that movie where he has a birthday party and nobody shows up? That'd be like me when I was growing up. So I believe in RSVPs. You better RSVP so that the parents know how much food to make, how many goodie bags to make.
Yeah, but the RSVP thing, again, like then you're going to sit there as a parent and you're going to wait for the RSVPs. Oh my God, is Aunt... Petunia coming, and is she going to bring her 50 kids? And then is Aunt, Uncle Joe coming, and is he going to bring his six-pack of Bud? You know, like, then you got to sit there and worry about, okay, well, our friends have three kids, and they got two babies. I got to worry about the goodie bags.
It's just manners. Just RSVP, in my opinion.
Oh, I hate the whole RSVP system.
I'm so sorry. But you know what you do like is you like the next one. Because it's all about cake.
Cake?
I love cake.
First of all, cake is probably the best thing that's ever been invented on this planet.
If it's your baby's birthday, whether it's the first, second, third, fourth birthday,
or it could be
cake.
Your 60th birthday.
You could be 100. I believe in birthday cake. It's like a pledge of allegiance to the birthday cake.
Colleen F. agreed with us. Cake, cake, cake. Lots of cake. And don't worry about the mess. Just let the kid go nuts.
Carl S. said two words. Smash cake. His daughter had one, and it was awesome to watch her destroy it. We ended up doing a smash cake. For those of you who haven't seen pictures, just seriously, like, go online and Google smash cake. It is hysterical. I do know that some people do not believe in giving their kids cake, though, like birthday cake. How do you feel about that?
I think that's really ridiculous.
Oh, that's personal choice.
I know, and I'm not judging you, dude. Hey, that's cool if you don't want to give your kid
cake.
You're
not judging. You just called it ridiculous.
I'm not going to sit there and be like, "Bro, you're a mess. I hate you." But I'm going to be like, "Hey, man, your kid, his kid's for his birthday. He deserves a cake."
I almost didn't give our kid real cake.
I know. We had a conversation about that.
And really, the only reason I ended up giving him a real cake is because I didn't have the patience to actually make him the banana bread that I expected that I was going to make. So it was a lot easier to do.
It was kind of like
cake.
A war of attrition. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I knew.
So I just waited patiently. I let you know my thoughts, and then we took care of it. It took care of itself.
I just hope that whether or not you give your one-year-old cake, that you give your cake to your guests. Because if people hear birthday, they are expecting some cake.
Number six, Pinterest.
The bane of my existence. I pretty much went into therapy mostly because of Pinterest. Like, I hate Pinterest, even though I'm on it every single day. And you see these things as a pregnant woman and you're pinning away. You're like, all these cool things on Pinterest. And then you have your baby. Here's how you have to have your baby's first birthday party. Smash cakes, themes, all these photos you need to take. And then you end up having a baby who's teething, probably hit his face before the party, so he has a scar all over his face.
He's probably bloodied.
Yeah, that knowing us, that's like pretty much what happened to our kid. So Pinterest gave me a lot of stress. It inspires so many people, but for me, I hate it.
Pinterest is Satan. I hate Pinterest. Okay. And I don't even use it, but I see you use it sometimes, and I see the stress that it gives you, and all I wanted to do is just burn the whole thing to the ground.
Between Pinterest and Facebook, I don't know what can make people feel worse about their lives.
Oh my God. And you know, because you got those people, and I love those Pinterest fails, you know, the epic fails.
That was pretty much my entire like first birthday party that I just planned for Reese.
I know. And my favorite epic fail is the one with the cookie monster cookies. Oh my God, it's the best. Anyway, don't do Pinterest. You're going to stress yourself out. And why are you going to stress yourself out? Because you're going to fail. You're going to fail at all of it. Unless you're like your super mom. And, you know, we have some friends that are super moms, and we've been to a couple of Pinterest parties, and they've done a great job. But for the most part, if you're just like a regular Joe, and you're like, oh, I really like this party because it's all boat themed. I'm going to make a boat cake, and I'm going to make boat cookies and boat presents. It's going to suck. I promise you it's going to suck.
I think if you were Pinteresty, whatever that means, if you were crafty,
is that a
word? If you were really organized before Pinterest was invented, then you can do it. If you were like me and have never had a green thumb or been good at cooking or baking or decorating, just because you see it online doesn't mean you're going to be good at it. So avoid Pinterest if you're like me. Number seven, lunch. How do we feel about lunch? I don't really feel either way.
I don't really care about lunch. And I'm going to say this. Well, it's not that I don't care about it. It's I don't care what I'm serving. Because the party is about having fun, having a couple of beers maybe. I don't know. Maybe getting loose, making bad decisions.
At a first birthday party?
It could happen. I'm just saying. It could happen. But I don't really care what I'm serving. And if you really care what I'm serving at my kid's first birthday party, dude, you get a problem. Like, you have an issue if you expect me to give, like, sandwiches and, like, salads and all that other crap. No, it ain't going to happen. You're not going to get a little tuna tartare sandwich at my kid's first birthday party. You know what you're getting? You're getting pizza.
Pizza is perfect. Pizza is the food of champions when it comes to birthday parties. I agree with you.
Yeah, because you know what? Again, this goes upon the Pinterest thing. If you go crazy with the food's going to suck. And you're going to spend way too much money. And no one's going to be happy. So if you go with like a staple thing, pizza, it's going to work.
I like it. And then you're not spending too much money. You're conquering two things at once. Or you could be like me and schedule your party like in the in-between lunch and dinner time. You know, like around 3, where you're pretty much telling everyone, don't expect to eat a lot.
Yeah, no.
I'm not really going to feed you that much.
No, you're not even going to get a fruit salad.
We did have fruit salad and pizza, but...
Yeah, but that, but if you're going to do that, like, that's all you're going to get.
So, you're lucky
even if you get soda.
All right, number 8, people feel very positively about gifts. Blake, give it to me.
I hate gifts. I hate the amount of gifts my kid gets. The amount I have to store all those gifts. Don't bring gifts. That makes it so much easier.
Well, Glenn Whitfield. Oh, shoot. I just gave your name away. Whatever. I'll just call you Glenn W. He doesn't have a kid, so maybe he doesn't listen. He does listen. But he says about gifts that, honestly, you asked for it. He would have people say, no presents, please, because it'll make the guests feel like they're not being taken advantage of. And the people that want to will still bring gifts. It'll just make it feel a little bit more friends and family and feel a little bit more comfortable. So he says, just with your invitation, say, don't bring gifts.
Okay. And if you're going to bring a gift, I'm going to say the one positive thing that I get out of these gifts is like the extra bags and wrapping that comes with it, because then I could like save that and like re-gift it. You know what I mean? Have you ever done that? I know you've done that. That's right. I got it from you. It was a rhetorical question, I think.
I know. I love saving all of those gift bags because I do not buy them. I wrap things in toilet paper, not even newspaper, but yes, I love reusing gift bags. I think Glenn is smart to say that no presents please, because a lot of 1-year-olds already have a ton of gifts. My particular question though is, how do you feel about gift registries for a 1-year-old?
I love the idea of gift registries. Don't like put it in my face. Don't like be like, if you're gonna get a gift, get it from here. But maybe I would suggest it somehow, some way, and be like, if you do plan on getting a gift, and if you're generous enough, here's a couple of ideas at a place that I already have a couple of examples of things that I think we need. And the reason why I say that is because you're gonna have, you know, Aunt Petunia and Uncle Joe get them the same exact thing, and you know what's gonna happen. So if you just give them a list of things that they could already get, it's gonna work out perfectly fine. And you get the crap that you need. You don't get the 40 ounces of bubbles that you have every day.
Now that I have way too many bubbles since I forgot to give them away. No kidding. Well, here's how I feel about gifts. Birthdays equal gifts generally, especially when it's a kid involved. And if you do find that you get bombarded with tons of gifts, A, it's because you invited that many people. So expect each of them to give you a gift. And B, the other thing that I like to do is stagger it. Don't give your 1-year-old all those gifts. Stick them in the basement and take out like one per month. That way it's new and fun. And he, you know, especially depending upon when your baby's born, he'll kind of mix it up between then and the holiday season. So the other thing that goes along with gifts, let's bring it up. Thank you cards. So say you get a bajillion gifts. Now you have to possibly write thank you notes. I should just talk for you because you don't write thank you notes for anything.
No, all right. There is no way in hell am I sending thank you notes for a first birthday party gift. That's not going to happen.
That is the rudest thing. Like, if Martha Stewart were here right now, she would probably smack you with her wooden spoon.
Well, then I'd send her back to jail where she belongs.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's right, Martha. You heard me. I know you're listening, too.
Why don't you believe in thank you notes?
Look, because I'd rather call you and thank you on the phone or thank you in person. If I thank you in person, that should be enough. That should be enough. I don't need to send paper. I don't need to waste the stamp. You know what happens to those thank you notes? They go in the trash. Every single one of them. So what's the point? It's useless.
Okay, I think you're speaking from a man's perspective, because if a woman were answering right now and you say, where would they go? They go in the fridge underneath a magnet.
Yeah, and then they go, and then they go in the trash.
Eventually, yes.
Exactly. So what's the point?
The point is that someone took the time to pick out a gift for your child. They went and spent their money, and they did this. And Blake, I love you, but I don't think you have thanked anybody yet in person for the gift that they gave our child.
I thanked everybody for showing up and giving gifts. I didn't say, bring my kid gifts. They're the ones who did it. They're the ones who brought them. Did I say, to gain entry, you have to pay a cover? your cover as a gift. No, that didn't happen.
You're right.
So why do I got to thank you?
Well, I would completely disagree. However, my one problem is that I have mommy brain, so it takes me a really long time to write thank you notes. But at least I tell people, hey, your thank you note is eventually going to come. Because I do believe that if someone goes out, takes the time, buys your kid a gift, that you should thank them properly.
Oh, totally useless.
Well, now that we know what I'm doing this week and what you are not doing, aka writing thank you notes for our child's birthday, that was a month ago. It's okay, better late than never. I think it is time to jump into our wines and wins of the week. First up, let's talk about the wines. Blake, tell me about your wine for this week.
It's so depressing. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I might need to get tissues. Tell me.
Oh my God, I'm going to need some serious therapy after this one.
Tell me.
You know how I was celebrating the fact that Reese was sleeping through the night?
Yes.
He went a total David Copperfield on me. It was an illusion. Total illusion. Yeah. Oh yeah. We're not sleeping through the night anymore.
I don't think anybody's kid really sleeps through the night that long. I overhear people who have toddlers who are a couple of years old, and I overhear them saying, oh, yeah, we're sleep training again. So I don't think people sleep through the night until they're 15.
I know, but the kid teased me. He was sleeping from 6 to 6. It was phenomenal. It changed my life. I couldn't get enough of it. Like I was like a heroin addict. But now I'm going into relapse, man. I'm not getting enough sleep anymore. And it really pisses me off. Just
get more Dunkin' K-Cups and we'll take care of it.
Oh, my God. How about you, honey? What's your wine?
My wine of the week is finding my diaper bag, which you so lovingly packed, stuffed with dirty, wet, poopy diapers. So we visited somebody and Blake felt bad about leaving poop and pee at someone else's house. So he just put it in our bag. And usually parents know to put these dirty diapers inside plastic bags or little baggies.
I put it in a plastic bag.
No, you didn't.
I totally did.
One of them was in a plastic bag.
Okay, maybe.
And the others were there and one of them was full of pee. And when you squish a diaper full of pee, it sometimes explodes. So I emptied a diaper bag. And as you can see, if you look over to your left-hand side, I have now left the entire contents of said diaper bag on the floor for you to pick up.
Yeah, well, you know what?
That was nasty.
I was just trying to do the right thing by the right people. I didn't want to leave no poop. I didn't want to leave pee in their garbage.
Next time, ask for a plastic bag.
Cause you know what they should do?
What?
You should send me a thank you card.
Okay. For not leaving baby poop at their house. All right. Well, so yeah, that's it. Next time, I think I just need to get more little plastic baggies. That's my wine. It's gross. Let's move on to a happier thing.
Yay. Not poop or pee?
No, the wins.
All right, kiddo. Poop and pee free win. What do you got?
My win is that my child is a cat lover like his mom.
Oh,
it is
God.
So exciting. We were reading Goodnight Moon tonight and Reese was pointing at the cats that are in the room and he would keep going, cat, cat. And that's what he would point at. He would find those little kittens on each page. So we have a cat lover, and it makes me really excited. That's my win. What's your win?
I hate cats. I'm not even going to dignify that entire win.
Too bad. It is recorded and good to go.
I hate cats. My win, Reese walked with me. I held his hand, and he literally took steps, and he walked with me for like 5 minutes or whatever the time frame was. We were celebrating Mother's Day with my beautiful wife sitting right across the table from me and my awesome mother-in-law. We went to a park and I decided I had enough carrying him. He was like too heavy. So I just like, you know what, kid, you're going to walk with me. And I thought he was just going to, drag him along. But I didn't. He actually took steps and he's turning into a human. I can't believe it.
I think he was one when I gave birth to him. I'm pretty sure I gave birth to a human and not a puppy. But nonetheless.
Well, definitely not a cat, I'll tell you that.
It's really funny, though, as he's starting to take these beginning steps, he totally walks like E.T.
Yeah, I know. He totally waddles.
Yeah.
You can just expect him to like go, eh.
And eat Reese's Pieces.
And you see like government members coming by with their walkie-talkies chasing after him.
I'm not going to lie. If you have like a 14-month-old or 15-month-old who might be starting to walk around Halloween, if that's what age your baby's gonna be, just dress them up as E.T. But dress them up as E.T. dressed up as a ghost, because that's what he was at Halloween, and it'll be a perfect match made in heaven. time now for our parent picks of the week.
I still have food in my mouth.
I'm sorry. He just took a big bite of pizza. Well, I'm going to start off then with my parent pick of the week, and it is frozen mixed vegetables. Okay, just go with me on this, folks, all right? So your kid's teething for probably a year of his or her own life, and they're eating real food, and they just cry incessantly when they're teething. Just get a bag of frozen mixed vegetables, all right? It has like the peas, the carrots. Sometimes they have green beans, corn. My kid doesn't like the corn, but hey, he likes three out of the four. It's a win-win situation. They can be like a dollar. You can go fancy and get the organic kind. Maybe $1.50. Who knows what? Keep it in your freezer. Your kid's being the pain in the butt. Take a couple of those pieces of frozen vegetables. Put it on their high chair. They're now working on their fine motor skills because they're picking up these little pieces. And they're cold, but they're not like a scary choking hazard, and they will kind of melt a little bit in their mouth. So Reese eats frozen vegetables probably twice a day, and I don't feel bad about it at all.
My parent pick is this toy that I actually got right in front of me. It is the one and only Gazillion Bubbles, the Hurricane Edition. I'm telling you, it's this little apparatus that makes these bajillion freaking bubbles, and it is hours worth of entertainment for our one-year-old. He'll just sit there and let the bubbles flow all over him, and he gets like all greasy from the soap and everything too. It's hysterical, but this thing's awesome.
Yeah, I would recommend this if you have any first-year-old birthday parties to go to. This would be the gift that Blake and I would completely recommend, an automatic bubble blower.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
And now that we have 20 bottles of bubbles, we're going to be blowing bubbles for a year.
All right, Dexter me.
Thank you, Blake, for chatting with me.
You're welcome, Mary.
You didn't really have a choice.
No, I didn't. Where we're doing this podcast, I kind of live here. And I'll tell you, though, I am glad that we're back from our hiatus.
Me too. And I'm really excited that a lot of people wanted to comment about today's topic.
Oh, my God. Everybody wanted to get involved on this one. Like, people felt really strongly about it, which was great.
Well, because I think everyone's pretty much been to a first-year-old's birthday party. And if not, it's like we're getting close to.
And so Everyone's felt awkward at a first birthday party. Everyone's like been like, oh my God, I don't want to go. And let's be honest, nobody wants to go to a first birthday party. Like truly, I mean, nobody wants to go.
I do.
Well, because you believe in unicorns and rainbows and everything, but realists in the whole world, we don't. First birthday parties suck, dude. And you just got to do the best you can to make it not suck. And that's why you're listening to us. And yeah, that's why we're blowing up, baby. That's why on Facebook, we're like super important.
Well, the people on Facebook who did reach out to us, we are so thankful for that. And if you'd like to comment on any of our episodes or get in touch with us, please check out our website. It's parentcastpodcast.com.
And if you want to continue the blowing up for us, it's facebook.com/parentcast.
Oh my gosh. And if you literally like this podcast after this, we want you to write in our wall and say, I hope I'm blowing it up.
Yeah, keep blowing it up. Oh, and you know what I like too? A new hashtag that was brought to us by Jessica R. And if anytime you comment on our thing, use this hashtag. Hashtag Judgment Free Zone.
Oh, hey.
That a girl.
You can also use that hashtag when you're on Twitter. You can tweet at us at ParentCast.
And if you're into the whole old school Gmail thing, you can reach us at ParentCastPodcast@gmail.com.
No, it's just ParentCast.
Is it really just ParentCast?
I thought it was.
You know what? I think you're right. I think it's ParentCast@gmail.com. Yeah, you're right. That's what it is.
Just don't listen to Blake.
Don't do the email. Just do the Facebook and do the Twitter. We don't read our email anyway. So
I read it. It comes from my iPhone. You probably don't because you just gave the wrong email address away. So it's parentcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that too.
Blake, what do we have coming up next week?
Episode 13 is going to be fun-filled and action-packed with another mom blogger such as yourself, Mary. Audrey McClellan, kind of a big deal here in Rhode Island. She has five freaking kids, four boys, one girl, and she still works. We're going to ask her how she does it. So make sure you get the listener feedback. If it's good, we'll put it on. If it sucks, well, then you're left out as always. Bye.
See you later, everyone. Check us out on Facebook.
Woo!
ParentCast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
We're poor.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.